The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Avra Lewis from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as TRRS. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazines. Our first article is called Gone Green. For slutty vegan founder Pinky Cole, veganism is more than a lifestyle. It's a form of self-care and a movement she hopes will change the way Black people eat, one delicious plate at a time. Baltimore native Aisha Pinky Cole's life has been all about taking big risks and reaping the rewards. A hustler since her youth, Cole has raked in thousands of dollars from savvy side gigs. We're talking everything from reselling McDonald's sandwiches in her high school cafeteria to throwing parties. Her sharp business acumen and natural gift of gab broke down doors, but it was her appetite for risk-taking that allowed her to leave behind an illustrious career as a television producer to start Pinky's Jamaican and American Restaurant, a popular Harlem eatery. When the restaurant caught on fire in 2016, she took it as a sign. "I built that restaurant on a rocky foundation," she reflects. "I wasn't walking with intention." After a two-year break, she decided it was time to make a change for herself and her community. Cole knew that her true passion was making delicious and satisfying food that doesn't compromise wellness, a concept ingrained in her DNA. "I was fortunate enough to marinate in the womb of a vegetarian," she says. "My mother and father are Rastafarians, so I was conceived from a meatless transaction." It's no wonder, then, that her next business venture, Slutty Vegan, based in Atlanta, came with an entirely new blueprint. What started as a ghost kitchen concept soon became a food truck, then a brick-and-mortar restaurant, a national pop-up tour, and now a viral Instagram sensation. Today, Slutty Vegan, a name she strategically chose to get people talking, has been visited by celebs like Snoop Dogg, Lena Waithe, Tyler Perry, the list goes on. She defines a slutty vegan as someone who takes time away from their busy lives to indulge in the pleasures that life brings. At Cole's Hotspot, where patrons line up for blocks, such pleasures include tempting menu options like Menagerie an impossible burger loaded with vegan bacon, shrimp, and cheese on a Hawaiian bun. Many people think going vegan means sacrificing flavor and the overall enjoyment of food, but Cole knows that couldn't be further from the truth. Fortunately, as the vegan movement has been popularized by celebrities like Jay-Z, Beyonce, sentiments about plant-based eating within the Black community have come a long way. "I became a vegan when it wasn't really cool yet," Cole says of making the transition in 2014. "But I knew I was onto something. Becoming vegan has been the best thing I could have ever done for my body. It gave me a level of mental clarity that's unmatched." Cole adds that veganism has made her more in tune with the fact that her nourishment comes from a pure source. "I credit a lot of that to not eating meat. We don't know where these animals came from or how they were killed or the state of mind they were in. Food is energy, and anything you put in your body will reflect on the outside, good or bad. Once you understand your body is your temple, you'll take better care of it." "What we eat," she says, "is one of the most important forms of taking care of oneself," a message she's serving to her community over and over again. A Beginner's Guide to Going Vegan. Self-care is a long-distance race, not a sprint, says Pinky Cole. Follow her tips. Set your intention. Going vegan doesn't have to be a chore. If you say to yourself, "This is my new lifestyle. I've made up my mind that I want to live a long life and I don't want to eat dead animals anymore," the universe will provide everything you need and it won't be hard at all. Start small. Do one thing that contributes to the larger goal every single day. Even if you start with one vegan meal a day, next week do 2 vegan meals a day. Soon your palate will change. Cut out the dairy first. Once you eliminate cheese, butter, eggs, and milk, you'll likely start to feel the transition. For one, you might automatically start losing weight because all that fat you've cut out of your diet. You'll also start to think differently. Your whole mindset will change. From there, stop eating beef, chicken, and turkey. Then the last thing you cut out is fish. Adopt moderation. Veganism is a lifestyle, but there are unhealthy vegans. Most vegans who are really serious about veganism take their lifestyle seriously. That means they do the research to make sure that they get the proper servings of all nutrients they need, like protein from beans and legumes, and vitamins and minerals from green leafy vegetables and fruits. The next article in the section, Body and Soul Health. Labor of Love. Meet the doula, the pregnancy partner you never realized you needed until now. If you're trying to decide whether to pair up with one, here's what you need to know about the impact she could have on your Labor Day and beyond. Hours into her labor, Latoya Luckett Walker and her husband, Tomesius Walker, were grasping opposite ends of a towel in a full tug of war. But the co-stars of VH1's T.I. and Tiny, Friends and Family Hustle, weren't in the midst of a power struggle in their hospital room. My doula had us do this exercise where I would pull and Tommy would pull on the towel when it was time for me to push, explains Luckett Walker. It helped me push the baby down. This type of tug-of-war is just one of the many techniques that doulas, experts trained in childbirth, have in their bag of tricks to help moms before, during, and after their labor. Doulas offer well-rounded coaching, giving emotional, physical, and educational support to mothers-to-be. But so many of us are reluctant to get the extra assistance we might need during a fragile time, despite the fact that Black women have maternal mortality rates up to 4 times as high as those of white women. Even though everyone from her hairdresser to her friend Kelly Rowland had encouraged her to get a doula, Luckett Walker resisted until her 9th month. At first, I thought it was just a trendy LA thing, admits the former Destiny's Child singer. But after moving to a new city and starting with a new doctor in her last trimester, she reconsidered. I knew I was strong enough to do this on my own, but thought I would love to be guided through this process and make it even more beautiful than it already is, says Luckett Walker, who praises her birth coach for helping her with everything from pain management and positioning her body during labor to being her middleman in the delivery room and helping her snap back to a healthy weight post-pregnancy. In fact, Luckett Walker says she slept through most of her 9 hours in labor. How often do you hear that? Whether you're on the fence about working with a birth supporter or you and your baby are already on board, it's important to understand the many ways a doula can transform your pregnancy and delivery. Here's the rundown. They provide physical benefits. Working with a doula has been shown to reduce the need for drugs during labor, significantly decrease a woman's chances of having a C-section, and shorten labor. And that's just the impact on your pain and progress in the delivery room. There are also perks as your doula works with you through your pregnancy. There's onslaught of stress that hits our community, and many of us don't have positive outlets for it, says Latham Thomas, master birth doula to the stars such as Alicia Keys and Serena Williams, and owner of Mama Glow, a maternity lifestyle brand committed to supporting women along the childbearing path. We know that a lying on the hands helps to reduce stress, helps to rest your nervous system. So when a doula comes in and can massage your pressure points, guide you through breathing techniques, or just listen to how your day went, that's going to have a tangible health impact. Doulas can also act as an extra set of eyes and ears, says Thomas, watching for potentially life-threatening medical issues common in our community, such as hypertension and diabetes, that can create pregnancy complications. At a time when women are 50% more likely to die in childbirth than their mothers were decades ago, this can be critical. There's a wealth of information. I tell my clients to look at me like Google, says Nikki Knowles, the Dallas-based certified doula and student midwife who assisted Luckett Walker. Knowles gets at least 20 texts a day from clients with questions about cramping, updates on doctor's appointments, requests for a chiropractor referrals, and more. And if you ever find you no longer like your OBGYN, your doula can help you locate one you connect with better. They break down your options. Do you have to stay in bed at the hospital? Do you need to take Pitocin to induce labor? Do you have to have an epidural or a C-section? At a time when many women feel at the mercy of their doctor, doulas help us understand our choices and their implications. That knowledge is key. They produce your labor and delivery. One of my clients says that having a doula is like having a producer for your birth, says Thomas. So many pieces go into putting a production together that nobody realizes what's happening behind the scenes. And we're the ones handling that. You need somebody who's going to know you need a sip of water after you've had contractions, or a cold cloth on your head, or a massage, or the music turned off, or the lights lower. It can be as simple as setting a mood, or as complicated as knowing who to talk to about what and when. They ease essential advocacy. After birth of her daughter, Grand Slam tennis champion Serena Williams knew that something was wrong with her body and insisted on being scanned for a blood clot. The key word here is insisted, as nurses and doctors initially dismissed her life-saving request. She ended up being right. I have seen with my own eyes my black clients get treated differently than my white clients, says Knowles, who noted that her black clients at the hospital are asked if they're on government assistance while her white clients are not. Now imagine not having to deal with any of those situations because you have an advocate at your side. The thing I love most about my experience was the support, says Luckett Walker. My doula, Nikki, was able to communicate with the doctors. She was like the middleman. She was able to lean over to me and say, "This is what's about to happen. Are you okay? Do you need a moment? Is this something that you want to do?" They give emotional support. Research shows that working with a doula can decrease the incidence of postpartum depression. But even if you're not at risk for this after you give birth, doulas can provide an emotional benefit in the months leading up to delivery by easing your anxiety around a sudden cramp, for example, or helping you stand up for your birth preferences despite disparaging input from others. I've had a lot of women come to me who want to, I've had a lot of women come to me who want an unmedicated birth and their family members are not on board, says Knowles. Sometimes I become one of the few people in their birth bubble to actually support them in their desires. Okay, the next article is from the lifestyle and travel section. I think the magic of New Orleans is that it's a safe space in South. In the South, says poet, activist, and all-around pound girl boss Cleo Wade. When you have people burning down black churches in Louisiana in 2019, it's a place where people feel free to celebrate their identities. It's deliberately black, musical, spicy Wade, 30, left NOLA when she was 17 and now calls New York City's East Village home, but she will always be indebted to the city that raised her. I grew up going to Essence Festival, she says. The women are beautiful and stylish, and I looked forward to it every single year. One of my treasured memories is seeing Frankie Beverly and Maze with my dad. At one point, the entire stadium was doing the electric slide. Here, Wade offers an exclusive guide to everything hot in the Big Easy. Where to shop? St. Claude Social Club. St. Claude carries a mix of vintage and local designers. One of my prized paintings in my apartment is from Sunday Shop. I'm obsessed with buying home goods from here. Material Life Shop. This place is amazing. They sell work from black artists, books, decor, gifts, and the coolest everything you love about New Orleans is because of black people t-shirts. Where to stay? Sauniet House. This is my favorite place to stay when I'm being fancy. They serve the best biscuits on the planet. When I'm not being fancy, it's my bedroom at my mom's house. Unwind. People tend to forget that New Orleans has some of the most beautiful trees. I like to walk along the streetcar tracks. It's a great way to take in the city, and you see where all the trees from one side of the street meet the other. It feels like a hug. Visit Studio B. Graffiti artist B. Mike opened his own museum, and it's definitely one of the most unique experiences in New Orleans. It perfectly captures the energy and history of the city in a modern way. Indulge. I don't drink hard liquor, but when I'm home, I'll have an old-fashioned or a Pimm's cup and end up thinking, who am I? Some old spirit comes over me, and all of a sudden, I'm drinking and eating po'boys. Every time I'm in New Orleans is an opportunity for me to indulge. Inspire. I love bringing new people to New Orleans and experiencing the city through their eyes. Being in the presence of people reacting to how beautiful, extraordinary, or spiritual NOLA is pushes me to learn something new each time. Explore. The Bywater has kind of become the Brooklyn of New Orleans. It's traditionally a Caribbean neighborhood, so all of the houses are colorful. Bike through, find a house that matches your look, and that's your NOLA moment. In the lifestyle section, Carnival. Behind the feet. Welcome to Carnival. We round up some of the most festive celebrations across the diaspora. It was 2:30 one February morning. I had just landed at Trinidad International Airport on a red-eye flight from Miami for my first carnival of the season. Going home to sleep wasn't an option. My crew and I were headed straight to a fete that started promptly at 4 a.m. As we made our way along Maracos Bay, I could feel the bass thumping in the distance. I could feel the bass thumping in the distance. The vibration from the oversized speakers intensified as we drew closer, signaling that we'd arrived. After a quick clearance through security, wristbands secured, bright cups in hand, I turned the corner and entered the feet. In front of me, thousands of people were gyrating to the music in a euphoric trance. Amazed by the strength of their motion and joy, I thought, now, this is a feat. A pristine breach bordered the dance floor on one side, and cascading mountains rose above us on another. The setting was picturesque, and the vibes were electric. Before we knew it, we had made friends from Atlanta, Puerto Rico, and Jamaica. They had come to town for Carnival as well. Soon the sun began to rise, cueing the water trucks to start hosing down the crowd, panning from left to right, soaking everyone as the DJ chanted loudly, "Welcome to the Soca Kingdom." With my hands in the air, head tilted back, and the rhythm of the music controlling my waistline, I felt free. I felt free. There were no limits. I was home. I am a daughter of Trinidad and Tobago and the birthplace of Carnival in the Caribbean. The culture runs through my veins. My family, get-togethers, or small limes, as they're called, weren't spent listening to my elders sharing their own feet experiences and recounting stories about the glory of playing a mas. The elaborate costume presentations you see today. I learned the powerful role that music played in shaping Trinidadian culture and the way it continues to weave through the country's rich history. In many ways, Carnival is our church, and soca music has become our gospel. We feast every year because we have to. It's an integral part of who we are. Carnival's roots. In the early 1800s, French settlers flocked to Trinidad and Tobago, bringing to the Twin Islands their annual pre-Lent celebrations of Mardi Gras, also called Fat Tuesday, similar to those held in New Orleans. The settlers often staged large-scale masquerades and threw elaborate street parties to commemorate the festivities. At the time, West African slaves were forbidden to partake in any of the French customs and instead mocked the plantation owners with chants in their native tongue and exuberant demonstrations that created a tradition of their own, known as Kanbula. Calypso music, the mother of soca, is rooted in Kanbula, as slaves used song to protest their bondage and express dissatisfaction with their conditions. Over time, Carnival celebrations spread throughout the West Indies, where Africans blended their unique styles and rituals with those of Spanish, Indian, and Creole settlers throughout the island chain. After emancipation, many islands, including St. Vincent, the Virgin Islands, St. Lucia, and Antigua, moved away from celebrating during the pre-Lent season and hosted carnivals throughout the year. Barbados celebrated the end of the sugarcane harvest, naming their carnival Crop Over. Grenada called theirs Spice Moss because of the abundance of nutmeg and other spices native to the island. As people of African descent dispersed throughout the diaspora, the commemorations migrated too. Today, the biggest global feats include Carabana in Toronto, Notting Hill in London, and Brooklyn's famous West Indian American Day Carnival and Parade on Eastern Parkway. Each boasts more than 1 million attendees, with Miami Broward Carnival in October closing out the season. At all these worldwide events, one ritual continues to be reenacted each year, Old Mas, or as it's more widely known as Jay Overt. Welcome to Jay Overt. After days of nonstop feeding, I woke up exhausted at 2 hours past midnight for what is the official start of Carnival, Jay Overt Morning, or the darkness before dawn. Forcing myself out of bed, I threw on my oldest clothes and sneakers, wrapped my hair, and headed out the door to meet friends in the center of Port of Spain for the Coco Devils Jay Overt Band link up. During Jay Overt, you have the option of joining one of the many all-inclusive bands that offer drinks, food, and skin covering of your choice based on their annual theme. You can choose to completely cover your body in oil, mud, paint, or cocoa, much as enslaved people once did as a form of resistance. As the music trucks pushed off and the loud bass kicked in, we began to move in unison, chipping down some of the same roads that many of our ancestors marched on centuries ago during their trek to emancipation. If there is one moment when I feel the spirit of Carnival is in my bones, it would be Jay Overt. There's no rich, poor, old, young, no judgment during the pre-dawn darkness, only pure love, and that is the essence of Carnival. When you're immersed in it, whether you're from the Caribbean or not, the energy moves through you, connecting you to everyone else. Then, as the sun rises and the mud or paint washes off, you transform into the character that you will be portraying that year. It's time to don the elaborate costumes dripping with jewels and feather, better known as Pretty Moss. Play a Moss. During Pretty Moss, the vibrant colors and beauty of Carnival are on full display. Masqueraders, as they often refer to, wait a full year for this two-day climactic experience, which at its core is a celebration of freedom. Playing a Moss is essentially your zone, the space to be your most vulnerable, sexy, beautiful self. This is a time when women in particular shine. Well, we have run out of time today for today's episode of Ebony. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avery Lewis reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as TRRS. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138. So long until next time.